Welcome to WTIP's Local Music Project, a monthly program that highlights the many musicians that reside in the area, as well as those visiting our neck of the woods. I'm Kathy Quinn. David Grinstead first moved to northeastern Minnesota back in 1975, so he's been around a while. Many folks in our area probably associate David with drumming or being a part of the music for the yearly solstice pageants in Grand Marais. While these are accurate affiliations of David's, I found that there's a lot more to him and his music when I recently spent some time talking with him at his hangout and music think tank, the Shanty Camp. It's a small, vaguely heated space above Betsy Bowen's studio in Grand Marais. I first asked David how old he was when he first started playing music.
Well, I was like 13 years old, and like a lot of school kids, I wanted to be a rock and roll star. So my parents bought me a guitar, and I took lessons for about 3 months, and then I quit them. And then, since the lessons didn't work out, I started a band. Another guy, just about like me, that didn't know how to play, played the bass, and then we had a drummer that could really drum. He was good. And we were called Princetons. Yes, and we had matching sharkskin, kind of green, blue sharkskin jackets, and it shined. So I guess I must have known something like three chords, because our first song was Louie Louie, which was da 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 da. That was the lead part.
Since his days of growing up and playing in rock and roll bands like the Princetons in Edwardsville, Illinois, David has had many journeys, which included living in places like Wyoming, Iowa, Memphis. Along the way, his musical interests, both as a listener and as a player, continued to evolve.
Later on in high school, in my senior year, or especially in college, I really fell in love with folk music. And never listened to rock and roll hardly anymore. So that's when I sit down by myself and with friends and learned how to play a guitar.
What were you calling folk music at the time?
At the time. It wasn't that long ago. Just 45 years. Kingston Trio.
Uh-huh.
The Letterman.
So kind of that folk revival period.
Never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
What a pity.
He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned.
We watched, whenever Austin City Limits started, we used to watch that every Saturday night. It's kind of our star of inspiration. But and then Joan Baez, and eventually Bob Dylan.
I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard rain's gonna fall.
Played in a country music band on the Iron Range when I did get back into playing some music. And I lived in Virginia, Minnesota. That's when I first moved to Minnesota in 1975. And I played bass guitar for the Outlaws.
Right.
Yeah. Which really made money. You know, it was
a working band.
We played 3 nights a week when we were working full time also.
How did you like that lifestyle?
That was when I was still drinking, and I loved it. I, I loved it, yeah. Because, yeah. But I can't say that I was being much of a musician when I did that. But,
so it wasn't necessarily real stimulating for you, but maybe fun?
Right.
While Grinstead admits that the days of playing as a working musician in a country band were fun, they weren't necessarily stimulating for him. His self-proclaimed musical slump didn't last long, though. He moved from the Iron Range to Finland, Minnesota in 1977 and eventually got hooked in with a group of people who socialized around playing music together. The Finland Rec Hall became the focal point for hippies, new to the area, and old-timers alike to hang out and play music together. Grinstead fondly looks back on those days in Finland in the late 1970s. He was also in Finland when he discovered his love for the blues.
I went through a blues phase when I was in Finland, Minnesota, with Gordon Thorne and the crew down there. That was fun, and I was sober then. Finally, and that was a lot of fun, and it still really influences all the music I've played, influences what I like now. But the blues, I still really love blues.
David continued to call Finland home up until the mid-1990s when he moved to Grand Marais after accepting a job as a GIS specialist with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Around the same time, David went to visit his daughter, Sean.
My daughter was a dance major at the University of Montana. And I went to visit her, and they invited me to sit in and watch a couple of her classes. And there was a guy there playing conga drums. And I think another guy playing the bells or something, some other percussion. And it just really moved me to see these people dancing with the live music in a class, you know. And I also realized that I really liked, you know, African dance, and because they were doing kind of Afro stuff in the class that day. And so anyway, after that, I started taking dance classes and African percussion classes in Thunder Bay with Sean Jussol. He brought over a guy from Ghana who actually teaches at the University of Toronto. His name was Kwasi Dunyo. And I went to a couple of his extended workshops, like 3-4 day workshops. Actually had it at a camp up north of Thunder Bay one time, which is beautiful on a lake up there. Anyway, I just really fell in love with that stuff, you know, the African drumming for dancers. Mm-hmm. And everybody learned, and the way the class was done was just a wonderful social event also.
David's revelation of his love for dance and African drumming has remained a steady influence on his music and life since he first discovered it back in 1996 in Montana. His studies of African drumming with his teacher Kwasi Dunyo from Ghana has had far-reaching effects on many people here in Cook County. In the late 1990s, Grinstead started a community drumming group that would meet at the 4-H log building in Grand Marais.
That was inspired by my workshops up in Thunder Bay. I just thought, well, we should be doing that here, you know. People should be drumming, you know, with hand drums, you know. And people should be dancing to that stuff. And it's just like, oh, something's missing in our culture. And it's general culture, it's not Grand Marais, because we got culture here, right? And a lot of stuff here, even back then, not as much as now. It was a social event. I tried to keep it formal. I found out it works good. Some people are there to really learn something new, and everybody that says they don't have a sense of rhythm just means that they don't want to drum. And if they want to drum, then they got a sense of rhythm. And to me, music and dance can be a real social thing. playing it yourself, playing the music yourself, and dancing yourself. And that's what they do in Africa. Everybody, the musicians, they all dance. And all the dancers drum. And all the drummers can sing. And they all play the shakers and bell patterns too. Everybody does, knows how to do it, all of it, you know. And I guess that has something to do with the other little musical jams and stuff I've got together. It's just like, people should not only listen to music, they should play it.
Even though David's main musical passion these days is drumming and getting others involved in drumming, he does make time for other types of musical experimentation, like his use of the early 1900s poet Eleanor Fergen's poem, The Night Will Never Stay, where we not only discover David's ability to play multiple instruments, but we also get a glimpse at his voice as he turns this poem into a modern art form that he calls Motopomo.
Thank you. shadows.
While David himself has proved he can be a one-man band, he still prefers to play with other people, like he does here with Yvonne Mills at the 2010 Winter Solstice Pageant in Grand Marais. In the spring of 2010, along with Marco Good, David began renting a space above Betsy Bowen's studio in Grand Marais so they'd have a place to hang out and gather with others to play. It's called Shanty Camp. I asked David where the name Shanty Camp came from.
Okay, Marco's into logging songs. He's a horse logger, you know, and he's an old songster. He knows tons of songs. He's been singing and playing for almost as long as me. And there was just this, somehow this romance of the shanty camp where the shanty boys, the lumbermen, lived when they were in the North Woods. We couldn't resist that name, Shanty Camp. So we rented a space called the Shanty Camp. And then, okay, so we went to legitimize the whole thing a little more and maybe do something useful and purposeful. So Shanty Camp is really a old-time traditional regional music center. Now that's the cover for it. It's really just where we hang out.
David and Marco have managed to legitimize Shanty Camp. Every Friday night, they open the doors of Shanty Camp to anyone who wants to come join the community music circle. There are regular attendees, as well as the occasional newcomer. I sat in at one of these sessions on a cold January night when a group of 8 Cook County residents gathered to play music together. Despite the cold temperatures both outdoors and inside Shanty Camp, there's a warm feeling amongst the group, even though not everyone knows each other. Most people are playing acoustic guitars, but there are also people who've brought hand drums, a flute, a ukulele, and even a didgeridoo. The session lasts about an hour and a half. Each person takes a turn around the circle playing a song of their choice. Some people ask to have others play with them, others prefer to play alone. The group is highly supportive of each other, and David is especially gracious. He's clearly the leader in the group, even though he prefers to be called the facilitator. Regardless, he adds cohesion to everyone without becoming overbearing. Marco Good.
He's just the musical kind of backbone. And we just got fooling around with the guitars, and he plays keyboards really skillful as a musician, kind of like a model for me, what I'd kind of like to be like instrumentally someday. You know, it's not about the person, and that's the thing I think is so exceptional about David is he doesn't have to be up front. He doesn't have to sing on every song, you know, doesn't have to be the guy up front, you know, and he's always just like making things happen from background area, you know, which I really love about David. He's always trying to support other people with their art. And not so much trying to further his own, whatever, quote-unquote, career.
David makes it clear that he finds great joy in playing music with other people, but it isn't the only reason that music is important to him.
I'm not a religious person. I don't belong to any organized religion. But I love spiritual music. Much of it is Christian music. Much of it is African, much of it is Muslim music, you know. I love it. It moves me. Music is kind of my religion, and I look at a lot of the lyrics, and I've been studying more lyrics lately. I was never much of a word person in music. Music's kind of my religion, the words of songs are kind of my scriptures, you know. One of my sisters, she was 84 years old, died recently, and the thing they kept repeating about my sister Betty at the funeral and with the family and all was how she just knew the scriptures and read the scriptures four times a day and memorized them. And here I am more of a ethical humanist than a Christian or a Muslim. And so I got thinking, well, that's pretty cool. So I realized, well, I have my scriptures in some of the wonderful music of the world. So. Yeah, and she had a wonderful thing that worked for her. And music, you know, music works for me.
Over the years, David has performed in several different collaborations, starting in his preteen days in the Princetons, and later as one of the Outlaws on Minnesota's Iron Range. Today, he's working on a new collaboration.
For the first time in a few years, we got a really nice drumming group together. And you know, people come, people go. And so I'm just looking so forward to when we can first perform out.
So that's the overall goal. That's what you want to end up doing with this group?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just for events, and if they can stand it, we'll be able to play at the care center sometime. And so I'm looking forward to the next couple of months developing this group, which might be called Zabobo. marching band, the street band, is something we are going to do, and it's really quite easy once we get once we learn how to work together better. And we've been in some parades, you know. Other drummers, including me and Marco. So Marco built these harnesses for a bass drum and for snare drums and for tom-toms and such. And so we are going to do that.
I had the great opportunity to visit with David on multiple occasions while working on this project. The last time I talked with him, I asked him, what would he do if he couldn't play music anymore?
That's a question. I'd revolt. That's funny. I'm probably going to change the subject here, but I remember one time kind of writing, actually wrote a poem about 20, 30 years ago, which is maybe inscribed on a guitar somewhere, but I don't, about if I lost my sight, I would still have music, and if I lost my hearing, I would still have my photography and the beauty of nature. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I'd do something else.
Well, you seem like you're a pretty creative spirit. Just channel it somewhere else.
Yeah, because you got to take what's given to you. But no, music, back to your question, music is even though I've pursued other professions, music's something I just continue to love and continue to be excited by. But it's with other people. I realize I don't particularly like playing by myself. I like practicing by myself, but I can never see myself as a solo musician. It's the fun playing with other people. And the most fun and the most consistent fun is with dancers and percussionists. When I'm around dancers and percussionists, and singers, of course, but and that's the most fun thing in the world, and it's not a real common thing in the Western world. It's getting more common, and there's a lot of groups doing it. But that to me is almost like complete social life, complete just soul fulfilling. Because the drums and dance are so spiritual and so physical, so organic. Feeling.
Fortunately for all of us, David doesn't have to face the question of what he would do if he couldn't play music anymore. In fact, he and Zabobo have already had their first gig. You've been listening to WTIP's Local Music Project, a monthly program highlighting the contributions of area musicians. Today's program was produced by Kathy Quinn. The Local Music Project can be heard every third Thursday of the month at 4 p.m. and also on the third Saturdays at 2 o'clock. Join us on Thursday, March 17th and Saturday, March 19th for the next edition of the Local Music Project, only on listener-supported North Shore Community Radio, WTIP.